Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the old saying is that a house divided cannot stand. Well, that apparently is what we have with the Minnesota House. I'm fascinated by this story. We bring in Tom Hauser, there's his theme music from KSTP Channel 5, the chief legislative, chief political reporter over there at KSTP. So how's this going to work, Tom? And first of all, I know there's still a couple of recounts happening, so do we for sure know now that it's going to be evenly split 67-67?
You know, we don't know for sure, but it's about a 95 to 98% certainty. Whenever you have margins of, I think these two recounts are 13 and 28 votes, something like that, it's hard to overturn those unless there's a major tabulation error. Generally, if you're going to have something flip, it might be a 2 or 3 vote margin, and we don't have that. So I think that the Minnesota House, when January 14th rolls around for the legislative session, will be 67 Democrats, 67 Republicans, for the first time since 1979.
Well, and when you were still at KSTP, you had already been there about 10 years, right? And so you've seen this before. I'm kidding.
I was a senior in high school, as a matter of fact.
How about that?
But yeah, it goes back a ways. And, you know, it only lasted for 1 year. The following year, there was somebody had to leave the legislature. There was a special election, and the other party, I think the Democrats, won it. So then it went back to a 68-66. But for one glorious year, they were forced to try to share power. And you can imagine how well that goes. Imagine 2 4-year-olds, and you're asking them to share toys. You know generally how that works out.
Well, that's what I want to know, though. But like, because that, I wish they would. And of course, you know, Lisa Daymuth and Melissa Hortman are saying, okay, we'll work together. We're going to be, we have to work together. Of course, we all have our cynicism over that. But isn't there a promise, though, that because they have to work together, that actually they would?
Well, yeah, they'll have to work together because they're bound by the Constitution to come up with a balanced budget. And so they have no choice. The question is, how do you get from point A to point B, and how much chaos will there be in between? Lisa Daymuth and Melissa Hortman saying all the right things yesterday about how they'll have conversations this week and they'll start talking about how to do this. But, you know, each of them has 66 members that they have to satisfy as well. And there might be, out of those 66 on each side, maybe 24 different ideas on how this should all work, because somebody has to be elected Speaker of the House. There will not be a majority leader and a minority leader, because there is no majority and there is no minority. But they have to pick a House Speaker from one party or the other. And in 1979, the way they did it was Republicans got the speakership, but Democrats got control of the House Rules Committee, which you could argue is even more powerful than the House Speaker, because it sets the agenda. It decides which bills are going to get heard, how they get sent to committee. And so they're going to have to come up with some sort of a power sharing agreement like that. And it will not be easy.
Can you give us an idea, at least what you know and what of the players we have involved and how that might work? So clearly the precedent from 1979 would indicate that, okay, here's a candidate from our side who would be a good speaker that you might be amenable to if you have some other ideas, and then we'll give you this. So certainly this will be a big point of negotiation. Any idea how this might play out?
You know, no idea right now. I do know that they are looking at the so-called blueprint from 45 years ago about how they did it after the 78 elections, you know, going into the 79 legislative session. They're reviewing what happened then. And I know from talking to some Republicans who look back on that document, they feel like maybe even though they got the speakership, that wasn't the big prize, because the speaker under that scenario can control the floor debate and, you know, who's out of order, who gets to speak next, some of those procedural things. But the Rules Committee gets to determine everything else, like what bills are going to get to the floor. And so I don't know that Republicans want to go back to that kind of arrangement, but what kind of a hybrid they might come up with, I don't know. But as somebody who's a student of political science, I'm going to be fascinated to watch how it plays out.
I am too, and I'm fascinated by this, and I'm very intrigued by it. Is it safe to assume that because it's split leadership, or split, it's a split house, and that the speaker would be a moderate from one of the parties?
You know, that would be a pretty good likelihood that they're going to not pick somebody from the far left or the far right. It would be somebody who maybe has a reputation for trying to work across the aisle. And it's purely speculation, because tonight the Democrats are going to choose who is going to be their leader going into this effort. It's almost certain to be Melissa Hortman. And then tomorrow morning, the Republicans will do the same. And that's almost certain to be Lisa Daymuth. And so once that happens, then those two leaders need to get together and start working out an agreement. I know in 1979, I talked to one of the last remaining lawmakers who was in the House at the time, Lyndon Carlson. He served 48 years in the Minnesota House. He retired in 2020, but I talked to him yesterday about this. And he said what they did back then was each party nominated five people. There were five member committees that then worked out this power sharing agreement. He said it took from just after the election in early November until late December. And I think there were even some final details that had to be worked out as the session began. So I imagine that same scenario is going to play out. Based on what I know about the legislature and how even under one party control last year, there was chaos at the end, I don't know how they come to an amicable agreement real quickly.
Well, you're not giving me much hope, because I look at this and I say, okay, for a two-party system to work, for someone who cheers the middle and cheers cooperation and negotiation, I would hope that this would lay the groundwork for that. But if you had to choose that, okay, the House will be more like that or more chaotic and divisive than ever, would you say that the latter is going to be true?
Well, and I don't mean to be cynical. It's just born of right. of experience. I mean, I've been covering the legislature since 1997. And again, even under one party control, there was, you know, chaos and division, because each of these chambers has different factions within.
Right.
some that are further to the left, some that are further to the right, some that are more moderate. And it's trying to get all of them to agree. Anything is possible. The great thing is, you're right, this does force them to at least attempt to come up with a compromise, not just on power sharing, but maybe a budget, because Republicans last year, in the last budget year, feel like they totally got rolled, and they did.
Yes.
They had very little input in the budget.
And on that, it's not the trifecta anymore. So the governor and the Senate, obviously still under Democratic control, but how does this limit what they can do as opposed to the last legislative session? How much will it limit?
You know, when you mentioned the governor, that brings up the whole other scenario. He has to come back now and kind of ride herd over this after he spent the last 3 months, vilifying Republicans. Mm-hmm. I know mostly Donald Trump, but half the country and nearly half of Minnesota voted for Donald Trump. So he needs to mend some fences with Republicans and then try to get these two parties in the House to work together. And don't forget the Senate only has a one-seat majority. And Nicole Mitchell's got legal proceedings coming up on that burglary case that could lead to them going back to a tie, and then maybe a special election there, and then who knows what happens in the Senate. So, all of this, it's a political stew, and I have no idea how it's going to taste when it's all done.
Oh, very nice wording there, Tom. Very good. Can you hang?
It's holiday season, and I'm kind of hungry.
It's
right
stew
now.
Season. I know you said you're hungry. Can you hang on for one more segment, though?
Absolutely.
Let's do that, because I want to talk about Governor Walz. Now, coming back to Minnesota, many would say tail between his legs. I want to find out what that means for the governor moving forward. Tom Hauser, chief political correspondent at KSTP, Channel 5, Eyewitness News. You hear him here on CCO often. We'll have more with Tom after the break.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Continuing our conversation with Tom Hauser, chief political reporter for KSTP TV, Channel 5. He's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. I know you're a big Springsteen guy. Where do you stand on Gordon Lightfoot?
I love Gordon Lightfoot.
Thank you. That's the right answer.
Not as much as I love Bruce Springsteen, but I do love Gordon Lightfoot.
Did you ever get a chance to see Gordon Lightfoot in concert?
No, I never did. But the thing I love about his music is that his songs all tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of maybe the same reason I like Bruce Springsteen. Many of his stories or his songs tell stories, and it's the same thing with Gordon Lightfoot.
A balladeer. So Tim Walz obviously will not become a vice president of the United States. He returned to Minnesota. How does this affect how he governs in the state, if at all?
Well, the biggest impact will be what we talked about in the last segment, the fact that he comes back to a legislature no longer fully in control of Democrats. So he's going to have to go back to what he had in his first term, where he's going to be dealing with divided government. You can't just ride roughshod over Republicans like they could when they had the trifecta. So that's going to be the biggest thing. On a personal level, from Governor Walz, it's going to be a challenge for him, I think, to recalibrate from these hopes and expectations and aspirations of becoming Vice President of the United States. And I think they truly were confident they were going to beat Donald Trump. In fact, I think in many ways they found it inconceivable they could lose to him, but they did. And so now he's back here in St. Paul. So just on a personal level, he's got to come to grips with that, and I think he will pretty quickly. He's got 2 years left in his term, and then he's got to start making some decisions about whether he wants to run for governor again, or, you know, who knows what other opportunities might open up. But it's going to be interesting to see. I don't anticipate him making any public appearances here in Minnesota until next week, probably at the earliest. But it is fascinating. He has not done one interview with anybody from the Minnesota media since he was chosen as the vice presidential running mate back, what was that, August 7th. So it's been 3 months, I guess, 3 months ago today. And so he's got to get back in here and immerse himself in what's going to happen with the budget, because that's the big thing that they have to accomplish, is passing another budget without the huge surplus they had last time around.
He has changed politically from a more moderate to certainly a much more progressive Democrat. Any chances, especially with the situation in the House, that we could see and mean a more moderate Tim Walz?
Well, he's going to have to moderate a little bit, because he doesn't have the legislature fully under control of his party. So he's going to have to be willing to compromise, as will Democrats in the Senate and Democrats in the House. They're going to have to compromise like they didn't have to do in the last couple of years. So that is going to be a challenge, not just for the governor, but for state lawmakers.
On the question of whether or not he would run for a third term, considering what has happened with his failure to become vice president, and certainly the aspect that there's a lot of, he has a lot of opposition in the state, certainly outside of the metro area. Would you see him running for a third term?
I could see it. In terms of that opposition, you got to remember some of that vocal opposition that you and I both see on social media is a bit illusory. Our approval ratings that we get on our Survey USA surveys show him consistently above 50%. Mm-hmm. The only politician in the state who also achieves that is Amy Klobuchar. Now, whether that's going to change after this run, I don't know, but our last approval rating we did just a few weeks ago still had him, I think, at 52 or 53%. So there is a vocal minority that does not like Governor Walz. That's not unlike any politician.
Right.
People, you know, from the other party don't like them. But he became kind of a lightning rod during COVID, and that continues to this day. And now he's become a lightning rod because of 3 months of bashing Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. And so whether he runs or not, I don't know. But here's some idle speculation. There is talk. We don't know whether Tina Smith is going to run 100% for Senate again in 26. If she were decide not to, maybe Governor Walz will decide he kind of liked this national political scene again, like he had when he was in Congress, and maybe he might run for Senate. But, you know, who knows? Royce White has already thrown his hat in the ring. It's not too soon to start speculating who might run against Tina Smith or instead of her if she chooses not to run.
Reading this article in the Minnesota Reformer from Christopher Ingram, talking about the average Minnesota legislative district swinging 2 points to the right in this latest election. Just your thoughts on that, and how, if that is surprising to you, or what kind of trend that that shows us.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me, given how well President-elect Donald Trump did. I think part of it is there's a lot of Minnesotans who wanted to see balance in state government. As much as so many people say, oh, divided government means you can't get anything done. Well, there are supposed to be checks and balances so that one party doesn't run roughshod over the other party. And in our case, in Minnesota, that's like half the state. Maybe didn't agree with some of these very progressive policies that were passed by the legislature. So it doesn't surprise me there was a shift to the right. And, a story I'm working on for tonight, maybe you saw I tweeted this yesterday. The real pronounced shift is in the congressional districts, mm-hmm. where we no longer have even one congressional district you can consider to be competitive. Even Angie Craig in the second district, the one that was considered to be competitive, she won it by 14 points. And every single congressional race was a double-digit blowout. Hers was the closest, a 14-point win. And I think those eight congressional seats, as long as those people who are in those seats now want to keep running, get used to looking at those eight faces, because they're not going anywhere unless they decide to give their seat up voluntarily. The greater Minnesota congressional seats locked in for Republicans, the metro area and the urban congressional districts locked in for Democrats.
Yeah, that's, again, for me, like, just on a personal level and opinion-wise, that's not a good thing, because there are fewer and fewer competitive House districts all across the country, which leads us to a lot of the blowhards that get elected and they really have no kind of consequence for some of the things they say. So that's troubling to anybody who hopes to have, wants a competitive Congress and government.
You're probably familiar with the Cook Political Report, yep. that does these congressional ratings. Going into this election, I think they only had about 20 seats in the country out of 435 that were considered toss-ups, and maybe another 18 that were considered competitive. So about 40 out of 435, so less than 10% of congressional seats in the country are considered competitive. That's how the districts have all kind of locked down for one party or the other.
Lastly, I saw a note that Ken Martin, possibly a name being mentioned as national DNC chair. How likely is that?
I wouldn't be surprised at all. He's very well respected around the country. He's done amazing things for the Minnesota DFL party. They out fundraise, they out organize Republicans, and it's not even close. A lot of that has to do with Ken Martin. He's a very talented political operative, and I know in national political circles he is very well respected. So that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the time today, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, Adam. Have a great day.
Tom Hauser, chief political reporter at KSTP Channel 5. You hear him often here on CCO. Traffic and weather coming up next.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.